WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy Labor Day weekend to everybody out there celebrating such things. We had a great, great time at Pappas down in Glen Burnie. We will be at Fadley's, our next Crab Cake Tour stop, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Win Donation, is the 15th of September. We hope to see some folks down there. We're going to have Coppin State President Anthony Jenkins, as well as new head coach Larry Stewart. We had a great time with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. Also have my friend Leslie Shreve on talking about productivity and strategy and get things done, taskology, as well as Ray Bachman, who we talked about a lot of heavy metal music and Radio Row memories. This guy has some Radio Row memories as well. They're all memories at this point. He has been up late at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. This weekend, he will be up late watching the Orioles play from the West Coast. But he is, of course, entrenched as our only legitimate Ravens reporter who's allowed Knowings Mills. He was there for all cuts and cut downs. And, you know, this cut day is kind of weird, dude. Like, they cut guys that you know they're going to bring back in 5 minutes. So, like, you see Brent Urban and you're like, you know, you're like, wow, I thought they needed him. And then you realize there's a shell game going on here, man.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on. I mean, I think sometimes it can be a little overblown. And look, if Brent Urban hypothetically gets a huge offer from another team, you run the risk of losing Brent Urban. But we saw this happen with him last year. I think we're going to see this also happen with Kevon Seymour, who we've talked about a little bit after a nice summer. And knowing that the Ravens are looking for as much cornerback depth as they can find right now, especially with Marlon Humphrey out for at least, we expect, the first couple games of the season. But there is a lot of that going on. That's why everything I post at BaltimorePositive.com or anytime I talk about the roster, yeah, final cuts day is huge around the league. You know, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of players who are sent to the waiver wire or sent to the open market. And it's a difficult day in that regard. But we always say what? It's the initial 53-man roster. It's never the final 53-man roster, because we know how fluid that can be all the way up to week 18 and into January. We've seen that in the past. So
the final roster happens around 11:30 every Sunday for that week. It's final for a game, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And since COVID, we've seen, you know, the practice squad elevations on Saturdays. And I mean, there's so much flexibility that goes into it. But when we do see the 53-man roster formulated as it was on Tuesday, you look at it, you draw some early conclusions. I mean, right off the bat, the thing that jumps out is Tyler Huntley has seemingly beat out Josh Johnson, because Tyler Huntley's on the roster. Josh Johnson was released. However, Tyler Huntley's been dealing with a hamstring for a couple of weeks. Josh Johnson is a vested veteran, just like Brent Urban, just like Kevon Seymour. So could we see Josh Johnson brought back, you know, whether it's practice squad, whether it's 53-man roster, for at least a little while, you know, until they're sure that Huntley's hamstring is right? That's a possibility. But, you know, you go down the list, and I think, you know, one thing that is evident, and we've talked about this for 19 of the last 20 years, a couple rookie free agents make the roster. Keaton Mitchell, the speedy running back, who a lot of Ravens fans who, you know, the ones who pay attention to preseason had to be impressed with his speed. And by the way, Nestor, you'll be glad to know he's the son of Anthony Mitchell, you know, Super Bowl 35 champion.
So, I sent Anthony a text last week and wished him well before that, the third preseason game. I said, I'm pulling for your boy. So yeah, he's Anthony's a good dude.
Yeah. And Keaton Mitchell really turned some heads. I mean, he beat out Melvin Gordon, a 2-time Pro Bowl running back, for that fourth running back spot. I'll point out he is a little banged up right now. Wouldn't be shocked to see him go to IR, but being on the initial 53, he can come back then, you know, and that's part of the roster gymnastics that we laid out there. And the other undrafted rookie free agent to make it, Malik Ham, went to City, Baltimore native. Really good story. And a kid who probably benefits from a situation that's less than ideal at outside linebacker, because Tyus Bowser still on the non-football injury list. It's going to miss the first four games. So they're light at outside.
What's his situation, Bowser?
It's odd, Nestor, because everyone knows last year, of course, he was coming back from the Achilles. The Achilles is fine. You know, he came back and played the second half of last year. You know, didn't play his best football, but didn't really seem to have any major effects from that. But he's dealing with what John Harbaugh's called an agitated knee. You know, they haven't said that there was any specific injury. You know, there hasn't been any evidence of that. It's been much more a case of his right knee's just been bothering him. And we saw this starting back at mandatory minicamp week. He barely did anything then. He starts camp on the non-football or non, I keep messing that up. Non-football injury list. There we go. It's like PUP. You know, people are probably a little more familiar with the PUP list, physically unable to perform. This is similar to that. But it's just something that his knee hasn't responded to treatment and rehab quite as quickly as they thought. You know, I don't think there was anticipation at the start of camp or an expectation at the start of camp that he wouldn't be ready for week one, but here we are. And now he's going to miss at least the first four games. So that's concerning, because not just from a pass rush standpoint, because Tyus Bowser's never been a guy that racks up sacks in high numbers, but drops into coverage, sets the edge, plays the run well. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can play off ball or on the edge. So it does hurt them at that position. And, you know, you look at that group right now, you're expecting or hoping Adafi Owe takes another step forward after, you know, what was an underwhelming second year for him. What does Jadeveon Clowney have left? David Ajabo, high expectations, but again, I know people don't watch preseason football as closely as the regular season. He didn't show a whole lot. And what was telling to me, Nestor, that Saturday night game against Tampa Bay, that last preseason game where they even shut down Zay Flowers, he didn't even play in that game. David Ajabo played into the third quarter of that game. That's not a sign of someone that they're thrilled with his progress. So he's on the team, don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying he won't produce and he won't take a step forward, but he didn't show as much as I think they would have liked to have seen it over the summer, especially knowing the state of their pass rush. So, you know, that opens a door for a Malik Ham to be on the 53-man roster. Not because Malik Ham's going to start or anything like that, but they need depth. And, you know, even some names that they have in that group, there are questions. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, it's not like he had 10 sacks for Cleveland last year. I mean, that ended with a thud and with him having some harsh things to say about the Browns. And maybe some of it was deserved, maybe not. It's the Browns, but still wasn't a great look for him on his way out of Cleveland. So there are a lot of questions about that pass rush group right now. So, you know, while Malik Ham's a good story and he had a nice spring and summer and he earned a 53-man roster spot, I'm also not going to sit here and say that I think he's going to be an answer for them at that position. So
if we spent the whole offseason talking about Calais Campbell, Marcus Peters, who's the other? We lost one other guy.
Justin Houston.
Houston was the pass rusher. And we thought Houston was going to come at the end, right? We're pretty sure Peters, it looked like it sailed on him. Calais signed early. And then it's like, all right, where's that productivity from three guys who were productive guys? I mean, Houston wasn't a starter. He was a third down pass rush specialist, but but situationally, for what they need in those situations, they had trusted veteran, at one point productive enough to think, well, we're going to put him out there. Maybe they'll be productive. That's probably where they are with Clowney right now, thinking like, well, he'll turn into this, or we hope something will happen. We've been talking about Owe forever. Ajabo, I'm not convinced that's a thing, to your point, I'm not convinced they're convinced that's a thing at this point, the way they were on draft day, where the day after the draft, it's all, Eric's had the greatest club. They're all going to start. It's August 30th. Let's see if they make the team, some of these guys. And then there's always surprises. To your point, there's always somebody you haven't heard of, like Mitchell's kid, who just comes in and plays his way onto the team. And that's the beauty of camp. And that's the beauty of the situation and what they do there to give these guys basically 7 months to make the team.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, the undrafted free agents making the team is something that we've seen. As I said, 19 of 20 years, they've had at least one projected to be on their week one roster. You know, once final cuts and look, as I just said, those two rookie free agents are banged up. So they might end up on IR over the next couple of days, but they make the initial 53-man roster. That tells you what? They're interested in keeping these guys around. It's not just a case of, he's hurt and we'll just stash him and whatever. I mean, we'll take a look at him next spring, which sometimes happens with rookies. But I think what's interesting, Nestor, and, you know, we talk about this all the time, as much as I'm back there, you know, I'm back on the backfields in Owings Mills every single day. And we talk about preseason football. We're at the end of the preseason now. Week one is just about upon us. And we're still talking about the same questions that we would have had 2 months ago or 4 months ago.
No one has seen the team play.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how this works, though. But you look at it at corner, you know, especially now with Marlon Humphrey out early, you know, I don't think there's an expectation he's going to miss a lot of time, but I don't expect to see him week one. I don't expect to see him week two. After that, I think it's anyone's guess. And I think he could be back at that point based on the timeline for the foot surgery. But in the meantime, to your point, they made a decision that Marcus Peters, as the player and certainly the personality, and we know all about that.
And the pay.
Right. All of those things, that it was time to move on. And that's fine. You make that decision. I respect that. Did they do enough to replace him? Rock Ya-Sin, we'll see. He missed a large chunk of August with the knee issue. You know, he's a guy that's had some nagging injuries over the course of his career. I think if he's healthy, I think he's solid. You know, I think he's someone you can put out there and feel pretty good about that. Same thing with Ronald Darby, who they just brought in. He's been an above average starter in his career when he's been healthy, but he's 11 months removed from an ACL injury. And I think they feel good about where he is relative to that. But does that equate to being a quality starter on the field, at least until Marlon Humphrey comes back? And then after that, you go down the list, Brandon Stevens and Jalen Armour Davis and, you know, Arthur Millett, who they brought over from Pittsburgh. He missed most of camp with a hamstring injury. And, you know, Damarian Williams is going to go on IR because he had an ankle surgery. I mean, you go down the list of their corners, just about everyone. Ardarius Washington, who was a great story and probably going to be their week one nickel. But all of them have some question, whether it's about health or experience, you know, in terms of, are they good enough? Are they ready? So you look at that group. We talked about cornerback a whole lot over the course of the offseason. And then the pass rush, as we just talked about. You know, these are issues that I don't think the Ravens necessarily found answers over the summer. I think they found some more options, and they have inventory at those positions that, you know, they're hoping will pop. And I don't want to dismiss David Ajabo and say that he's not going to contribute, but, you know, the preseason wasn't a great sign. You know, you'd like to see him stand out against second and third team guys when he was going up against guys like that in the second and third quarter of these preseason games. And you didn't really see that, you know, so how's that going to translate to going up against opposing starting offensive lines? You know,
well, yeah, he couldn't get it done against guys that got cut yesterday, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, especially that Tampa game. I mean, he didn't play a whole lot in the third quarter. I don't want to make it sound like he was playing with 5 minutes to go in the game. It wasn't that extreme. But, you know, he lined up in some pass rushing situations in the third quarter even. And, you know, he still wasn't generating a whole lot of pressure or juice there. So, you know, he's a rookie. I want to say that because he really kind of is a rookie because he missed most of last season. He didn't get that spring practice. He didn't get training camp. He didn't practice until, what, November of last year. And at that point, you know, the train's rolling.
He had a horrible injury too, right? I mean,
he had an Achilles. Yeah. And I'll remind everyone, because I said this even the day he was drafted, even before he got hurt at Michigan's pro day, he was considered a raw prospect. He really only played 1 year at Michigan. Now, it was an impressive year, but the point was he was considered kind of, you know, raw and green and needed to develop some, which is fine. And that's okay for a second round pick where they ultimately drafted him. But, you know, at this point in time, they just have such a need with their pass rush, you know, coming off the edge, that you look at it right now, you know, Owe, is he finally going to pop in year three? We'll see. Clowney, how much does he have left, and how much of a fit is he going to be here? I mean, Clowney will play the run well, and that's something they need as well. So I don't want to say that he's not going to contribute for them, because he will, but is it going to be high impact from a pass rushing standpoint? I mean, if it's
he's a number one overall pick, and I'm like, he never played like that. Never.
Right, right. I mean,
he was hurt from the beginning in Texas.
Yeah, well, remember, he had microfracture surgery on his knee. I mean, it's actually kind of a compliment to him in a big picture sense that he's had as long of a career as he's had. I mean, but you're right. And the hype for him coming out of South Carolina, I mean, this guy was, you know, he was getting Lawrence Taylor like hype when he came out of college. I mean, that's how big of a prospect he was. So yeah, he never lived up to that, but he's been a good pro. And don't get me wrong, I think he's going to help them, but is it going to be dramatic from a pass rushing standpoint? We'll see on that. So it comes back to Mike McDonald and scheme and trying to use some pre-snap deception and simulated pressure and blitzing and all those different types of things that we saw him do last year. Not as aggressively as Wink Martindale, mind you, because they play more zone, and certainly they don't put their corners out on an island, which is a good thing considering the state of their current cornerback group. But there is that question of how's this going to look, and are you going to be able to put enough heat on the pocket? The good news early in the season, CJ, you know, they play CJ Stroud, rookie quarterback in week one, Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback in week three, even Joe Burrow in week two, which is a very daunting task going to Cincinnati, especially considering where they are, you know, at cornerback. Joe Burrow's missed the entire preseason, so you may not get peak Joe Burrow in that game, which certainly would help the Ravens. But everything I'm laying out there with the state of their defense going into the season, to me, it points to Lamar Jackson and this offense better be ready to come out of the gate playing well, because there's certainly some question marks on defense that they had going into camp, and I don't think we've found any answers really to those questions, especially knowing you're not going to have Marlon Humphrey for at least a little bit of time here early on.
Well, I mean, the good news is they have the JV to start the program next week at home in Houston. I don't feel like they're in jeopardy there, but I think the jeopardy happens when you watch them play against a team that doesn't have expectations. That if we're sitting here at six minutes left to go in regulation at 3:40 in the afternoon on Sunday, and the game somehow is 21-20 and they haven't been very good and the offense isn't as good as you think they are, the it will be put upon the defense to say that right now you spent the first 15 minutes saying, hey, maybe that's the weak link, the defense at this point. Watching that and watching surgeons in the AFC, it's going to be a little different than watching a rookie.
Yeah, it really will. And again, maybe they'll figure some of this out. And to be clear, Nestor, me saying this doesn't mean I think the defense is going to stink. I mean, they still have Roquan Smith in the middle with Patrick Queen. They are very stout at safety. I think Kyle Hamilton is going to be one of their very best players. And we saw him play better and better as last year went on. I think he is the kind of guy that they can move around and be creative with on the back end of the defense. And that will include him playing closer to the line of scrimmage at times. And I think you'll see him blitz at times, and you'll see Patrick Queen blitz at times. So they will, and they're going to have to be creative with their pass rush, because again, I don't know if the edge guys are going to get there. They're going to be counting on Justin Matabike to give them pressure from the inside, you know, and he's done that really well at times. Other times it's been, you know, not quite as consistent. So it really is going to be a collective effort, but they still have a lot of talented players on the defensive side of the ball. I don't want to make it sound like it's all panic, but the question marks that we had back in April, May, and June, July, started training camp, they're still there. And in the case of corner, you did add Ronald Darby to the mix, but you know, it's just, you have a collective group there that just about every single guy has some question, and including Marlon Humphrey once he comes back from his foot surgery, just to see if he's going to look like himself right away. Although I think, you know, this isn't a Liz Frank or anything like that. I think once he's back, I think they'll feel good about where he is physically. But, you know, it's just, there are some unknowns there. And on the flip side, as you pointed out, you know, as much as I say that might put more pressure on the offense, you know, this offense has unknowns just because it's new. You know, the upside's there. You know, you have an offensive line with four or five starters returning. You have a much improved wide receiver group. You still have Mark Andrews. You have a healthy J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And I'll continue to point out, I think Justice Hill's going to be a little more involved with this offense than he's been in the past. I think Todd Monken likes him. So that's something to watch if suddenly you're seeing him look more like the number two back than maybe even Gus Edwards is. But so they have talent. They have the horses on offense. They have a healthy Lamar Jackson, which they did not have in December of January of last year. But you have so many new moving parts there that it might not be firing on all cylinders right away, which, to your point, against Houston in week one, I don't think they're going to have much of a problem. I don't. You know, they'll win pretty comfortably, I would anticipate. But if it is a close game in the fourth quarter and, you know, a rookie quarterback throws the ball over the head of a corner, in the third quarter to make it a one-score game again, and the offense maybe isn't clicking quite as much as you want, you know, it'll make things a little uneasy, especially thinking that you have the Bengals the following week. So, you know, this is where they are. And the other wrinkle to throw in here is they didn't play in the preseason. The starters didn't play in the preseason, which is great from a health standpoint. And I have no problem with that, thinking about it with that approach. But you do wonder if that does cause a little bit of rust when you're out there and the bullets are flying for real for the first time. And, you know, your guys haven't really tackled anyone on defense, and your quarterback hasn't been hit once all summer. So, you know, it's something to think about. And, you know, we'll see how this roster evolves here over the next few days, and certainly expect a couple changes here and there. But for the most part, not too many, you know, no stunners, no major surprises as it pertains to this roster. The couple rookie free agents, that's a good story. But again, we're not talking about guys that are probably going to move the needle. This roster is about what I would have anticipated it being if you asked me to kind of lay it out in late July, other than adding Clowney and Ronald Darby to the mix.
Luke Jones is our guy. He will be our guy on the scene all next week. You will love reading my Dear Steve Bisciotti letters. I'm also writing a letter to John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta. I'm sure they'll hear about it. You'll find all that at Baltimore Positive next week. Luke will be on the backfields in Owings Mills, provided they allow him. And we'll be ready for football next week. Offense and the offensive side of the ball, we're all expecting fireworks, right? Like, we watch these preseason games. We're like, Josh, who? Okay, Huntley's hurt. We have Lamar, 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 Lamar. You love Lamar. They love Lamar. Everybody loves Lamar. Where are you on the offense as far as what? And we'll talk more about this next week, just at a matchup level with Houston. But from a body standpoint, from a health standpoint, Mark Andrews, just where are they offensively right now?
I think from a depth standpoint, from a health standpoint, you have to be pleased with where they are. I mean, Mark Andrews is out right now. John Harbaugh has flat out said, like, he's practicing next week. Tell the fans not to panic. He's dealing with a little issue. I've said over and over the last couple of years, give Mark Andrews more practice time off. He doesn't need to be, he's the kind of guy who takes such punishment sometimes, you know, especially going over the middle in this offense, that he doesn't need to be out there every day. He's the kind of guy that you can give a vet day to.
He reminds me of John Ogden, and I know he's diabetic because my wife's diabetic, and I know the struggle with that from being married to a diabetic, but he always looks like John Ogden. He always looks tired. Yeah. He always looks like he needed another hour of sleep.
That's funny. That's funny. But you look at this roster, the offensive line's healthy. As I said, four or five starters returning. Do they have fantastic depth on the offensive line? Well, you have Patrick McCary, who can play any position. And by the way, as things stand right now, would be their backup center if something happens to Linderbaum, because they at least initially didn't keep Sam Mustipher. But they're healthy on the offensive line. They're deeper at wide receiver than they've probably ever been, at least in a long, long time. You know, I mean, we'll see what Odell Beckham looks like when the lights go on for 17 games. I said to you in a conversation we had recently, I was impressed with Beckham. He practiced way more than I thought he would. He practiced hard. He played well. Now that looks good. Zay Flowers looks good. Bateman is probably the biggest, still that biggest health question they have in terms of, the foot. They're still managing his practice reps. When he's been out there, he's looked good, but he has missed a lot of practice time this summer. Ronnie Stanley's practiced a ton this summer. He's looked good. Even last year when he was back on the field playing, he wasn't practicing a whole lot during the week. So time on task for him with the offensive line. I think that bodes well for that group.
It is amazing as we sit here and talk about their offense, right? Lamar hasn't finished the season in 3 years, right? Ronnie Stanley didn't finish three seasons and finally got through one last year. These injuries, they have veterans on the right side of the offensive line, which are always like, these are 30-somethings. Talk about giving guys practice time off. There's all that. Then they have Beckham coming back from an injury. I mean, he's an injury guy and, 1 year deal and like all that stuff, has to prove he's going to get 17 games to do it. Bateman's just a question mark, right? Like for everybody. So Gus Edwards been injured. J.K. Dobbins, horrible injury, came back and had it look like a kangaroo trying to run around last year. And they threw him out there. Then they shut him down. Then he doesn't play. Then he wants money. Josh Jacobs got his bag, by the way. So
he got a little more.
Got all the bag he was going to get. How about that? He maximized his bag. in August, right? For all of the nonsense. And of course, his agent has been in contact with me and is ready to come out. The problem is his agent loves kicks and stone horses. He's not going to come on until after the show. So we can't get him until later on in the month. But all kidding aside, on the offensive side of the ball, all these guys got a little dingy ding, nick, nick problem that you would say, well, Marlon Humphrey's got that right now. Yeah. And I'm not going back to old injuries or anything like that, but it's just these guys aren't going to play 17 games. I mean, none of these guys, right? I mean, there's going to be bang ups and injuries. It's got to make sure you start the right way and find out where they are from the beginning. I don't love that Mark Andrews isn't completely healthy right now, right? Like, he hadn't played a game in 10 months. He should be healthy. You know, I like all my guys healthy on Labor Day. I really do.
No, I hear you on that. And again, all these guys, yes, they do have an injury history, but you know, most guys in the NFL do. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the game, right? Yeah. So you look at it and, you know, you mentioned the right side of the offensive line. Yeah, Kevin Zeitler and Morgan Moses, both on the wrong side of 30, but two guys have been very durable over the course of their career. So you hope that continues. As I say to you, and we said this about Joe Flacco for years, he was durable until he wasn't anymore. And that's just how this works. I mean, any player gets far enough into their career, the injury rate's going to be 100%. So, but you do look at this group. They did have a healthy summer. They do have guys that, and you mentioned J.K. Dobbins, and this is where I will stick up for Dobbins a little bit, even though, you know, the way he's approached this thing, I certainly don't think he's done anything to help himself other than not practicing in late July and early August and avoiding some injury risk there. But Dobbins did look very good when he came back from the in-season scope. I mean, he looked really good over the last month of the season, and the numbers support that. He was that good. But you are talking about a lot of guys who, you know, some injury questions. That's why it's good that you have depth. And they really do have quality depth just about everywhere. Even their offensive line depth, which I wouldn't say is great in a vacuum, but you look around the rest of the league, no one really has great offensive line depth. I mean, that's why you see so many trades and things of that nature this time of year with offensive line. I mean, the Steelers traded a couple different offensive linemen, and you know, you see those types, you see that kind of movement because everyone is desperate, not just for reserve. You know, forget about reserves. Teams are desperate to find five quality starters, and I think in the Ravens' case, I think they have four high quality starters in Stanley, Linderbaum, Zeitler, and Morgan Moses. And then we're going to find out about John Simpson at left guard. You know, he won the job. He was better than the rookie Saleh. He was better by a pretty wide margin, but we'll see how that looks. He started 2 years ago for the Raiders and it didn't go very well for him. That's one reason why he's in Baltimore now, because they released him last year. So, you know, we're going to see how that plays out. But the point is you kind of look at all those different positions, even tight end, even behind Mark Andrews, who, you know, Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler aren't as proven, obviously, but they can play, you know, especially Likely. So, and we saw that last year when Andrews missed some time. So my point is, even if they do have a couple injuries here and there, they do have depth. There's one guy that needs to stay healthy on the offensive side of the ball. First and foremost, Lamar Jackson. You know, if he's missing 5 or 6 games again, like he did the last couple years in the loaded AFC that we expect it to be, they're in trouble. You know, they're in trouble. They probably won't make the playoffs if he misses that much time. I mean, that's just reality. That's why I kind of laugh because, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, so much oxygen given to the backup quarterback competition between Huntley and Josh Johnson. The reality is neither one of those guys are good enough if Lamar misses more than a game or two. You know, if he misses a game, misses two games, probably be okay. You know, you can have Huntley run around and try to play a little more Greg Roman-like ball, and you'd probably be okay for a game or two. Probably can steal a win doing that. But if Lamar Jackson misses time for a third straight year, significant time for a third straight year, then, yeah, they're in trouble. But guess what? The same's true of Joe Burrow and the Bengals. You know, the same's true if Patrick Mahomes misses that much time. I mean, that's how this works, you know? I mean, there are some decent backup quarterbacks in the league, but not too many of them, and very few that can lead their team to victory week after week if the starter goes down. So as much as we talk about wide receiver, the passing game, J.K. Dobbins, Lamar Jackson is everything in terms of staying upright, staying healthy, staying on the field. And Stanley, very important as well, don't get me wrong, but it's Lamar. And if Lamar isn't on the field in December and January once again, then they're in trouble. You know, newsflash. You know, I know that's shocking for people to hear. But overall, bringing it back to what you asked me originally, I look at the roster on the offensive side of the ball. I do feel good about it because I do think they have some quality depth at most positions. And that's not something that even some other contenders can say, you know, when you go roster by roster around the league.